Vaguna
Anvitam
Vimurhaha
Na
Anupashyanti
Pashyanti
Jnana Chakshushaha
Utkramantam
Sthitam Vapi
Bhunjanam
Vagunanvitam
Vimurhananupashyanti
Pashyanti
Jnana Chakshushaha
Utkramantam Sthitam Vapi
Bhunjanam
Vagunanvitam
Vimurhananupashyanti
Pashyanti Jnana Chakshushaha
The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Purport. The word jnana chakshushaha is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, nor what form of body he is going to take in the next life, nor even why he is living in a particular type of body. This requires a greater amount of knowledge understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. Every living entity is quitting his body under certain circumstances. He is living under certain circumstances, and he is enjoying under certain circumstances, under the spell of material nature. As a result, he is suffering different kinds of happiness and distress under the illusion of sense enjoyment. Persons who are everlastingly fooled by lust and desire lose all power to understand their change of body and their stay in a particular body. They cannot comprehend it. Those who have developed spiritual knowledge, however, can see that the spirit is different from the body and is changing its body and enjoying in different ways. A person in such knowledge can understand how the conditioned living entity is suffering in this material existence. Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very much troublesome. They should come out of it and be Krishna conscious and liberate themselves to transfer to the spiritual world.
Utkramantam sthitam vapi bhunjanam bhunjanam vagunanvitam vimurhananu pashyanti pashyanti jnana chakshushah.
The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. I'm continuing after some time to speak on the very important topic of foolishness. Very important topic is jnana, knowledge. It's also the opposite of that, ajnana. That's also very important because we're all in the ajnana timira anda, the position of being blind in the darkness of ajnana, non-knowledge or non-understanding. So as I mentioned before, foolishness can be analyzed in two divisions. One is simply not knowing, especially not knowing something that one should know, and the other is action in non-knowledge, or especially action that is detrimental to our well-being. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used the term, for people in this material world, conditioned living beings, apaswartha parayana. This is a more descriptive way of saying a fool, particular type of fool. someone who is strongly attached to that which is against their self-interest. What could be more foolish than this? But that describes everyone in the material world. Strongly attached to that which is not beneficial for us. Therefore we find here in Gita, Krishna again and again uses this term, murha, vimurha. The murhas, they don't like this term, because they are murhas. And therefore they say that a great quality is not to criticize anyone. Because if anyone is to be criticized, then they also have to become criticized. They're highly criticizable. But Krishna uses it. We like to hear from Krishna. Jnana means to hear from Krishna. Arjuna wanted to hear from Krishna. What is jnana? What is gaya? There may be, you may have so much knowledge, but it's not about gaya, about the actual subject of knowledge. Prakriti purushang chaiva kshetram kshetragyameva cha jnanam gayam. What is it? Jnanam gayam. Jnana gayam. I lost it anyway. Jnana gayam. Jnana gamyam. No, it's right. Anyway, that's in another verse. See, I didn't get my jnana right. But the Arjuna asks about not only what is knowledge, etad vedita michami jnanam gayam chakeshava. That's the line. I got it out of order. I want to learn about these things. Not only about knowledge, some information, but what is the proper object of knowledge? So the proper object of knowledge is Krishna, as he confirms in Bhagavad Gita that he is Veda Vidya, he is the object, he is the proper subject to understand in all the Vedas, as he revealed to the four Kumaras and Brahma, who are caught in a philosophical quandary. Even after being such great jnanis, they couldn't understand how can the senses be disentangled from the sense objects when consciousness means to that the senses are the consciousness acts through the senses, and the senses interact with the sense objects, otherwise they can't they don't exist, so they don't have any meaning. So how can we be disentangled from this? How can we get liberation? So Hansa Avatar replied that you forgot about me. The real subject is not the senses and disentangled. It's me. I am the proper object of knowledge. If you try to become disentangled from material nature without understanding Krishna, then we simply come to the platform of mental speculation. So knowledge means to know Krishna. One cannot even begin to know Krishna if he doesn't understand this basic essential point that we are going from body to body. When a devotee sees someone, or a person with the eye of knowledge sees someone in this world, he sees not in the same way that a materialistic person sees. A materialistic person sees everyone in relation to them, how this person is higher than me socially, or equal to me, or lower than me, or more powerful than me, or less powerful than me, or on the same level of power. This is a beautiful woman. This woman is not very beautiful. And so on. We see like this. But a devotee sees this person has received this particular kind of body under the modes of nature and is suffering and enjoying in this way. So this is the beginning of transcendental knowledge. Of course, this term murha, Krishna also uses in relationship with himself. Avajananti mangurha. Those, they do not know me properly. Those who say, Manushing tanamashritam. Those who think that I am now sheltered in a human body. That's another part of understanding how we go from body to body to body, the conditioned souls. But it's also essential to understand that Krishna is not like that. Part of understanding how we go from body to body to body, or the next stage up, is to understand that Krishna doesn't do that. Krishna doesn't change body to body to body. Krishna is beyond all this. There's no question of Krishna being in a body. Deho deho dehi deha vibhaga yam neshvare vidyate kvachit. There's no difference between Krishna body and the owner of the body as there is in the case of the conditioned soul in this material world. So people are certainly foolish who try to comment about Krishna without even understanding the ABCs of material knowledge. As Srila Prabhupada said, this series of lectures I'm giving on Don't Be Foolish, it's some various quotations from Srila Prabhupada when he says, don't be foolish. Many times Srila Prabhupada said, don't be foolish. So here's one of those quotes from a lecture, a Bhagavad Gita lecture in Bombay on October the 10th, 1973. He said that this Krishna consciousness movement is that try to understand Krishna as Krishna is speaking in the Bhagavad Gita. Don't malinterpret. Don't be foolish that Krishna means this, Kurukshetra means that. Manufacture some words and you be also foolish and make others foolish. No, try to understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. So Bhagavad Gita understood as it is to bring us out of foolishness, as Arjuna was brought out of foolishness. Interestingly, Srila Prabhupada says here, don't manufacture some words and be foolish. And Srila Prabhupada uses one word here, one of Srila Prabhupada's English neologisms. Neologisms means a word that you make up. So he's also made up the word malinterpret. It's an excellent word, that will not be accepted by mundane scholars. Yeah, you're trying to look it up in the dictionary to translate it, but you won't find it, because there's no such word in the English dictionary yet. It's not there because according to them, according to mundane scholars, anyone can interpret it any way they like. But Srila Prabhupada, there is the word misinterpret, which means to wrongly interpret. But malinterpret means it gives the sense of enviousness or deliberately doing wrong. Just like we say the word malefic, it means evil or it's intentionally evil. So Srila Prabhupada has made up this word. He's telling others not to make up words, but he's making up. Because by hearing Srila Prabhupada's made up words, it's actually a great contribution to the English language, because there was no such word. Then by hearing that, we will become non-foolish. And it's actually part of the foolishness of the English language that they don't have such a word, because they think that any interpretation is as good as any other. Misinterpret, they would say that is in terms, in linguistics, you could, in translating one language from another, you could misinterpret, or you could misunderstand someone's intention. But in the field of philosophy, they think that it's all speculative, and then anyone can interpret it in their own way, so there's no such thing as misinterpretation, it's just different opinions. Then what's the point of having any philosophy at all? Good question. And then we, in the modern age, we don't. Philosophy is just something for a few people stuck away in some university. Not many universities have philosophy departments anymore. It's just something people are not very interested. Actually, in France, it's compulsory subject, philosophy, but didn't seem to help them very much. I didn't see the French becoming any more self-realized than anyone else, maybe less so, because they study philosophy, and for them studying philosophy means studying, I suppose they would study the famous French philosophers more than others, the last of whom was Jean-Paul Sartre, who was a demon, a full-on demon. And even one of his pupils was Pol Pot, who outdid Hitler in his atrocities, in killing literally millions of people. One of his students in the in the university. So Srila Prabhupada says, don't be foolish to malinterpret Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada is very specific here. The Bhagavad Gita is to be understood in terms of devotional service. It is to be understood that Krishna is the Supreme Person and we are to surrender to Him, and any other interpretation is malinterpretation. That means that we want to avoid Krishna. We think it's right, but that what we think is right comes, that is born from a sense of envy of Krishna. So it's not just misinterpretation, it's malinterpretation. And it becomes foolishness. Then we say, Krishna means this, Krishna means that, Kurukshetra means something else. This was, Srila Prabhupada took exception to the interpretation of Mahatma Gandhi, saying that Kurukshetra means the body and the five Pandavas mean the five senses, and just complete concoction. But no one is interested in Gandhi's interpretation. And they come in and out of fashion, these things. Tilak's interpretation was very influential, and I suppose it still is. Not that people read it, but the idea that for anyone who's interested in Bhagavad Gita, it definitely was influential up until a generation ago, because everyone you meet who thinks they know Bhagavad Gita, they say, Karmanye Vadikaraste, and that for them is the whole message of the Gita. Work like an ass. That's all you have to do. That is the message of the Gita. Shankara's interpretation, undoubtedly, because he's more powerful than Mahatma Gandhi or Lokmanya Tilak. His interpretation is the mother of all malinterpretations. It's going on up to the present day. Of course, if we read his Gita commentary in the very first verse, he says, Narayana Parovyaktat, but somehow or other that gets lost on the people who are very eager to deny that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada says here, don't be foolish. Accept Bhagavad Gita as it is. In Gita also, we find Krishna says, Asangshayang samagrang ma yata gyasasi tachshrino. Now you hear from me. If you hear from me, all your doubts will be slashed. And these doubts may tend to come if we hear from non-devotees. It's a fact of material existence, at least, that people tend to be influenced by their association. If he's in a group of devotees, he'll say very strongly, yes, Krishna is supreme, but he may be afraid to do so in a group of non-devotees, because he feels, they won't like it. I'll become unpopular. They'll blame me. They'll chastise me. So if we associate with non-devotees, then we may want to speak in a manner that we think will please them. But we have to present Bhagavad Gita as it is. Of course, in preaching we may speak in a manner that can attract their attention and then bring them to the point, but not just remain on the speaking in a foolish way. If we manufacture some interpretation of Bhagavad Gita, then we become foolish and we make others foolish. So Srila Prabhupada was always speaking practically the same topics over and over and over again, because if we understand these basic topics, then we'll be fixed in Krishna consciousness. We're not the body, we're eternal soul. We're eternal servants of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This material world is miserable. We should not remain here. We should chant the holy names with no material desires and come out of it. But we have so many doubts. Doubts due to demoniac propensity, due to bad association, we can say these different reasons are there. While reading, I believe it was some Sri Vaishnav literature, I came across, I came across this point that Dvivida was a well-known figure in Ram Leela and appeared also in Krishna Leela. In Ram Leela, he's on the side of Ram as a great devotee. On Krishna Leela, he's just a disturbance and eventually gets killed by Balaram. So he went from being a devotee to being a demon. And the Sri Vaishnava commentators analyze that when Dvivida saw on the battlefield of Lanka that Lakshman was almost appeared to be dead, being struck by the weapon of Indrajit, then Dvivida had some doubts about the Bhagavata, the divinity of Lakshman. And from that doubt, because he didn't resolve that doubt, that the seed of offense arose within him, which eventually fructified in his behaving in a vulgar way before Lord Balaram and being killed. Now, doubt is not wholly proscribed. It is doubt is also the platform on which our understanding may become stronger. Just like Arjuna was in doubt, he was ready to fight. He went to Kurukshetra to fight. Then a doubt arose within his heart. But then after hearing from Krishna, then his resolve to fight became stronger than even previously. Before, he had a general sense of why he should fight, but afterward, nashto moha smritir labdha, all his illusion was destroyed, and he was ready to perform Krishna's instruction. So, doubts, if raised, they can actually be form the platform on which actual clarification can be given. So in that sense, Shankaracharya has done a great service to Vaishnavism by formulating a philosophy of non-Vaishnavism, which gives form to, reifies is a fancy term. It gives form to the latent misunderstandings and doubts within everyone's heart, and maybe within the Vaishnava's hearts also. He states it, and gives a, by stating it explicitly, that which is implicit within everyone's mind, he states it explicitly and then gives a platform by which the Vaishnava Acharyas can come in and just smash it to pieces. And not just by calling names, but by analyzing all the philosophical points on which Shankara established his Advaitavad, the Vaishnava Acharyas have showed them all in all respects to be faulty. And in this way, they have established Vaishnavism. So doubt is not foolish, but to not have those doubts cleared, that is foolish. Generally, if we hear, go on hearing regularly, then all doubts will be cleared. And we often hear this from devotees, that just some doubt was in their heart, and in the course of hearing or reading, then the doubt is answered. It may be just some words which appear to be just part of some purport, but those particular words particularly speak to the person with that particular doubt. And it's a very common thing. We hear devotees, and we often hear it from Christians and also, that they have some thought in their mind, some doubt, and they open the Bible and there's the answer. Or they open Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Krishna's super soul reveals that. Srila Prabhupada had a doubt about the behavior of his spiritual master. That when he saw at Sri Chaitanya Mart, the original place of the organization which came to be known as Gaudiya Math. He saw there, he was there one day, and there was a poisonous snake was crawling. So generally in the villages in Bengal, if there's a poisonous snake, it'll be killed. But the devotees there, they weren't sure what to do. Because Vaishnavas, there's prani matre udbegna diba. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, we should not give any kind of anxiety to any living being. And meanwhile, there's a poisonous snake, and poisonous snakes are dangerous and can kill you. So there was some sound, maybe some shouting, this, that. So Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur came onto the veranda of his house, Bhakti Bhavan, saw the snake and said, kill it. So it was killed. And Prabhupada said that there was a doubt in his mind about this. He didn't ask his guru. He had an opportunity to do so, but he didn't do so. Maybe it wasn't a major doubt, or maybe he thought he shouldn't disturb him. Maybe he was afraid. We don't know, because Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur was a very imposing figure. We can't imagine Abhay being afraid, but Bhaktisthan, just like Krishna is described as being feared by fear personified. Anyway, we can only better not to speculate. So anyway, as Srila Prabhupada was reading the Bhagavatam, going through it systematically, he came across Prahlad Maharaj's instruction that, Modeta Sadurapi Vrischika Sarapa Hatya, that even a sadhu becomes pleased if a snake or a scorpion is killed. And that was stated in relationship to Hiranyakashipu. So then Prabhupada was satisfied that, yes, there's shastric grounds for this. Of course, there's also the famous story of the sadhu who carries the scorpion over the river and the scorpion bites him. You'll know that story. The Swabhav, the story of this sadhu is going to cross the river. The scorpion asks for a lift. And he said, can you carry me? He said, well, you're a scorpion and you're going to bite. He said, well, I'll try not. And halfway across the river, the scorpion bites. He said, oh, you bit me. He said, yeah, I knew you were going to bite because you're a scorpion. It's your nature to bite, but it's my nature as a sadhu to help people. So, unchangeable nature. So, of course, a Vaishnava wouldn't do that because he'll kill the scorpion because we have to serve Krishna with this body. So, that doubt was there in the heart of Srila Prabhupada, and it was by seeing the shastric evidence. There wasn't enough of a doubt for him to give up his faith in Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur. But there may be so many things which are, because Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Bigeha Nabhujai, everything a Vaishnav does can't be understood by others. There's a description in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita of Srila Prabhupada. He would travel with his small deities of Radha Krishna at one point. And the arati would be performed daily, morning and evening. So one evening the arati was being performed by one of Prabhupada's disciples. And during the whole arati, Prabhupada didn't take any attention. He was just teasing Saraswati, the little daughter of Shamasundara and Malati. He would tease her and make her cry and then make her laugh, and this, and he completely ignored the deities and the arati going on. So seeing this, Purushottam, who was Prabhupada's servant, he became doubtful. And that later developed into more doubt. And then he left. He thought that when the moon landing was going on, it was seen on TV, and Prabhupada was just laughing and saying, it's all just a mock-up. It's not. And Purushottam was upset. No, you see, they're going to the moon. And he lost faith in Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very... he was unhappy because when he asked Purushottam, why are you leaving? He said, well, you yourself said that we should not follow someone we cannot have faith in. Srila Prabhupada was upset. He was hurt by that. So doubt is there, but we shouldn't be fooled. There may be so many doubts about so many things. Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he'd go in the kitchen and the devotees are making sweets to offer to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada pops one in his mouth. Then he pops another one in his mouth. And the devotee said, "But Prabhupada, you can't eat, it's not offered to Krishna." And Prabhupada said, "Who said you can't eat something if it's not offered to Krishna?" The devotee said, "Well, you said, Prabhupada." He said, "Well, if I told you, I cannot. If I made the law, I can also break the law." So, we should not allow doubts to consume us. That is foolishness. We have to fix our, we're tiny little beings, tiny, tiny little beings. What can we know? Therefore, we have to accept a guru and see the guru's bona fide guru, hear from them, understand who is Krishna. And if we try to exercise our own speculation, our own brain power, of course our brain power should be used to understand all these things, but if we can take any statement that Prabhupada makes or any statement that Shastra makes and make a Purva Paksha, an opposing idea. It's not difficult to do if you have plus 5 education, maybe a little bit more. But what value will that be? What will be the value? Very easily we can understand there is ultimate reality. We don't know what it is. Someone should know who it is, what that ultimate reality is. We won't find any better exposition or explanation than Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to hear that from the representatives. And we should understand it is Maya's duty to always place doubt in our heart. And it is our duty to hear from the acharyas and from the shastras so that the doubts are cut. But nevertheless, the doubts may arise. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, again, don't be foolish. Things which are beyond your speculation, don't try to argue, don't be foolish, don't be rascal. This is a paraphrase of the Achintya Kalu Ye Bhavanatangs Tarkena Yojayat Prakriti Bhyo Parangyach Tad Achintya Se Lakshanam. Very sage advice that what is transcendental is beyond our power to work out with our limited mind, senses and intelligence. Therefore, we shouldn't try to take our mind, senses and intelligence to try to understand them. It's an impossible endeavor. So, the very nature of that which is beyond this material sphere is that it is achintya, inconceivable to those within material consciousness. So therefore, we should not try to bring our material consciousness to try to understand that which is beyond the material. We have to accept another process. That process is the spiritual process, which begins with hearing. But we can only begin to hear if we are not foolish. Foolish people don't like to hear. The foolishness of the most sophisticated fools lies in their thinking that they can understand everything with their brain. And they may have a very good mental capacity. But they don't have the purified intelligence to understand that however good my mental capacity is, unless I understand that I am basically in ignorance, and my ability to perceive and my ability to conceive is extremely limited. Therefore, I need to learn from someone who knows. And to learn, I have to accept this. I can't dictate the system of knowledge. Show me God. Bring your scientific instruments and show me God. You can't dictate the method. We have to accept the method that's given. So sanity or non-foolishness, actual intelligence is manifested with surrendering to a guru who can teach us, and don't try to argue. Doubts may be raised, valid doubts may be raised, as Arjuna did throughout Bhagavad Gita. Well, in the beginning especially. Then he was asked, after that he was asking questions when he was convinced. But arguing means to try to show to someone, your idea is wrong, my idea is right. Doubts may be raised. I don't understand how you are right. Please explain. It doesn't seem to be right. Please explain. Katame tad vijani antvamado proktavanit. How did you? Arjuna said, it doesn't seem to make any sense that you are born, Krishna, before, at the same time you are there with the sun god when you and I are both the same age. So how can I understand this? It wasn't exactly a challenge, but I can't understand it at all. And then Krishna reminded him. Remember I told you already about this? We're being born again and again? Well, it's like that, he told him. So then he cleared the doubt. It seemed to be an impossible doubt. How can Krishna say that he spoke to the sun god when he was only born, he's the same age as me? And he spoke along, he spoke to previously to Vivasvan, who spoke to Ikshvaku, and then Manu, and he's talking, Evam Parampara Prapna. What happened? I never heard of this. What are you talking about? But he didn't consider that Krishna had appeared many times. He seemed to have forgot all about that. So Krishna reminded him. So the doubt was cleared. Some doubts, they may not be cleared immediately. It may take time, may take purification. Some things, some people just can't understand because they're too contaminated. Just like we find people who are deeply contaminated by Mayavad, they just can't understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They can't get it. They don't have the mercy. They don't have enough mercy. That mercy is required to understand. Prasadalesha. What is that verse? How does that begin? Prasadal. Atapite deva padambuja dvayam prasadalesha anugrihita eva hi janati tatvam bhagavans mahimno nachanya eko pi charang vichindvam. One who has a little drop of mercy from Krishna can understand all these points about him, how he is the Supreme Lord. Someone else can go on speculating for many lives and not understand anything about it. So it is intelligent to understand that we are dependent on the mercy of the Lord. There is a higher power than us. However highly we may rate our own intelligence, which is foolish to rate our intelligence high, at any level as than that of being insignificant. There is a higher power, higher knowledge than us. And if we submit, then by His mercy that knowledge will come to us, that understanding will come to us. Otherwise we remain foolish. Hare Krishna. Any question, please?
Sometimes, leader has in his heart someone is committing some mistake or some problem is there, some fault is there. So in heart we feel that anyway we also have many mistakes, many problems, so many faults. So it's okay, everyone has faults. So
everyone has faults, so don't try to correct them.
Because we also have
faults. I also have faults. So the leader should become faultless and then he can correct others.
Yeah.
That's actually the standard. They're just like the parents with the children. They should be so cautious to act in an ideal way always in the presence of their children. If they're going to argue, they should not do it in the presence of their children. In the presence of their children, they should always be aware that how I am, that is what they will want to be like. So the parents have to be so careful. But if we think, well, I have so many faults, and then so I can't correct anyone, then we should think I should correct my faults. Instead of thinking, well, everyone has faults, so I can't correct anyone, and then we all go to hell. And then what's the point? Where's the meaning of spiritual life? We should always be trying to overcome those faults. Practically, yeah, all right. It's also understood that we're on the path, but therefore we have rules and regulations which we should follow. That keeps us maryada, that keeps us in the proper line. There's things we should do and things we shouldn't do. So the faults may be there in our manner of dealings and this and that, that we can work on. That's also how we deal with others in trying to correct them. That's also an important consideration. That we may also say to someone, I know I also have so many faults, but it's my... Jagannath Mishra would say to his boy that it's my duty to instruct you because I'm your father. In a dream he was very strict, and then in a dream some godly person told him that, you see, you shouldn't be very strict with this boy. You don't know who he is. He's great personality. He's actually the Supreme Lord. He said, well, whoever he may be, I'm his father and it's my duty to correct him. So everyone should be striving to be ideal. And those who are in a position, who are given that position, they have to try to correct others. Jayapitaka Maharaj told me this when he was new in the movement. And before he took sannyas in Canada, Prabhupada made him the temple president, and all the devotees were senior to him. So he had to engage them and create. So he had to be very humbly and say, "Excuse me, Prabhu, I know you're very senior and this and that, but would you mind?" And like this, he told me he had to do that. Also, there's Adi Keshav. They used to call him Adi the Kid. He was given sannyas at age 20. There were so many nicknames used to be there for not very flattering nicknames. Because there's Billy the Kid in American culture, cowboy. So, there was this big temple, this 14-story, actually for Manhattan it's not very big, but 14-story. Building in Manhattan, which was made as a temple, and there were about 200 devotees living there. And Srila Prabhupada made Adi Keshava the temple president, but he was only 20 years old. He gave him sannyas. He said, unless I give you sannyas, no one will listen to you. So there are some transcendental management tricks of Srila Prabhupada also. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Korea, that's really the word. The word Korea, another meaning of it is just like a car on ice. It's out of control and it's just going here and there. So Nietzsche's Korea, he was really the wildest philosopher of the Western world. Isn't it? Well, Sartre gave him a good run for his money. Real, both very demoniac and wild people. Yeah.
So he was going to musical concerts, he was meeting people, he was very open previously, and he was trying trying to solve the doubts.
Yeah.
But somehow,
oh, that's, you're talking about Nietzsche, then that came in back to Godhead. That, yeah, I remember when that first came, that Prabhupada was discussing him, and Prabhupada said he didn't meet a guru. And he couldn't get his doubts resolved. He was actually intelligent in the sense that he couldn't get his doubts resolved. And he, without going to a guru, then you must remain in the position of doubt. Yeah.
But there's a role of destiny for Nietzsche,
that
Nietzsche can say from his
past. Yeah, yeah. There was no opportunity in the Western world prior to Prabhupada coming. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked, why didn't you come to the Western world earlier? And Prabhupada said, because you weren't ready. I don't think anyone was ready even when he came. He made them ready. This... Bhavananda told me once, he asked Prabhupada, he said that, well, he said that it states in Bhagavad Gita that only people with pious activities can take the devotional service, but we weren't pious. Prabhupada said, I have made your pious activities. He made them pious by inducing them to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and that overrode all their impiety. But yeah, there was, by their destiny, there's actually no hope of any real progress. Something, I mean, if someone, maybe if they become a Christian, they're in a somewhat better position than the people who are non-Christian. At least they had some faith in God, but somewhat better position, but not really much hope of any progress unless we come in contact with the devotees. That verse comes there twice in the Bhagavatam. What is that? Martyanam. I'm always remembering the middle line of the verses. Martyanam kimu shashitaha. What is the beginning of that verse? Bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kimu tashishaha. Even a moment's association. Lavena pi tulayama lavena pi. Nam swargam napuna bhavam. Bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kimutashishaha. This verse comes twice in the Bhagavatam. Once the prajetas say to Shiva, and where else is that? Is that in there? I can't remember. So even a moment's association with a pure devotee is more valuable than going to the heavenly planets, or even getting liberation from this material world. It's not comparable. So yeah, people, they had a human form of life, but they're not really humans. They're not. Civilization begins with Varnashram system, in which there's opportunity to hear Shastra. So, Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very much troublesome. Should make people fortunate by giving this knowledge. Hare Krishna. We'll finish now. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.